another episode of All of My Issues. In this episode, episode 43. This is a special anniversary episode, kind of. It's a topic that we've visited once before, so we're revisiting it this time, only this time with 100% more Chris. And that topic is movies that could have been superhero movies. So, without further ado, let's get started.
I'm Sam.
I'm Chris.
All right, today we're going to revisit one of our topics that we had about a year ago, because we're about a year old now, a little bit a year old and some change now, I guess. But
Yay!
So we've got some lessons learned, maybe some things that we might change depending on, you know, a year of knowledge that we have about comic book movies and movies in general, I guess. And we're going to talk about some new shows that we've seen and all that kind of stuff. Well, what do we want to talk about first? Maybe get those out of the way. Yeah, let's talk about Orville.
All right. Redenbacher.
Orville Redenbacher. Big fan of his popcorn.
Yes.
I like the buttery, extra butter.
All of his popcorn.
All
of
his popcorn. I prefer the butter.
Yeah.
I prefer the butter. Yeah.
I mean, when you're talking Redenbacher popcorn, it's so much better than that other guy's Pop Weaver. His popcorn is nowhere near as good.
That's there you go. There you go.
So the Orville.
Yeah, the Orville.
Seth MacFarlane's new show.
That's right.
There's
that's our segue.
For Orville Wright.
Yeah, I can see that. That's why I was kind of assuming it might have been that kind of thing. I didn't. Yeah, I don't know. Did you read that?
I read that somewhere. Okay. That means, which rolls off the tongue a little better than the Wilbur.
Yeah, the Wilbur. Although I think I might have liked the Wilbur better.
I probably.
Yeah. Isn't there a rat named Wilbur?
Willard.
Oh, it's Willard. Oh,
Wilbur was Mr. Ed's friend, though.
Yeah, that's right.
That is true.
Wilbur.
So we haven't made it 4 seconds into the actual topic.
Sorry, Seth MacFarlane.
I've watched the first three episodes.
Yeah, and that's about the first three-ish for me also. I didn't finish the third.
So he's watched the first two and a half.
Yeah, first two and a half.
Sam has watched Zero.
A goose egg.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yes.
We still discuss it.
We're not going to be too spoilery out there. But
right. So I couldn't believe they killed Seth MacFarlane's character in the first episode.
Right? Like 5 minutes in.
No. But anyway. not at all what I expected.
Yeah, I have to say the same thing, too. I thought more traditional
Seth MacFarlane comedy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And it is hardly a comedy.
Yeah.
It is much more drama than comedy. It just has some good one-liners thrown in.
Yeah.
A couple not-so-good one-liners, if we're being totally honest.
Yeah. Way more Star Trek-y, science-y than I expected it to be.
Okay.
It is, honestly, it feels like they're extending the Star Trek universe. It feels like the next generation.
Yeah. The next generation.
See, that's what I was kind of thinking when I was seeing in the previews, because you know, in an episode of Family Guy, he had all of the Next Generation cast in an episode where Stewie was like babysitting them and stuff. So I figured he was like a big fan of the Next Generation.
That's what I'm thinking. He must be because of, you know, he's wearing fitness and everything, and just the way.
I've heard, and take this with all the grains of salt.
All the grains.
I heard that he approached Fox about acquiring the rights to do a Star Trek show, and they were already behind the scenes planning Discovery.
Okay.
Not Fox, but the other company was planning Discovery, so there was no way that they were going to get the rights to it. So, so he went and made his own Star Trek.
And that's what it seems like. It does seem like...
especially when you get to episode 3.
Yeah.
Episode 3 has the thinly disguised modern-day moral dilemma
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's, and again, not too much of a spoiler, but it has to do with gender reassignment of a baby. And it's not played for laughs
at all.
There's they play very little for laughs, and it's just really hard to explain.
It's funny because I think it was kind of advertised as a comedy, though.
They took everything that was funny in the first couple episodes and put it in that trailer.
Yeah, maybe
in the first episode.
Yeah,
but it was just like I was not expecting what I got at all.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's I think in the first episode I was actually kind of a little bit taken aback by that, and I wasn't sure if I actually liked it or not, the first episode.
Yeah.
But then after that, you know, once I got the tone of the show, I liked it. I enjoyed the episodes 2 and most of 3 that I watched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just put it on the background when I'm doing other things. And
yeah.
It's one of those shows where I don't have to pay so much attention to it. I can sit there and
get the gist.
Yep.
Okay. But it's good.
It was.
I haven't watched the new Star Trek show, which is odd for me.
Yeah, I haven't watched that yet either.
Is it out yet?
Yeah.
It is. But is it only on CBS On Demand, right? Some weird thing like that.
Okay. So maybe that's why. Because I was waiting for it to come out. I thought.
Yeah, it is. They have some weird venue that they're distributing that on.
Critics not liking the Orville.
Really?
Yeah, most of them.
Hmm. Do you think they're expecting the whole Family Guy vibe?
My personal opinion is the show is a bit uneven right now.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that it'll hit its stride and just be what it wants to be or whatever like that. But I think that they seem to expect something else from it, and they don't seem to like the humor at all.
Yeah,
so the part that they do like seems to be more the part where it's whatever. By the way, did you know that the helmsman, the guy with the day drinking problem?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, pilot or whatever.
Yeah.
Is the voice of Stan? No. What's the boy's name on?
Steve.
Steve.
Really?
Yeah.
No,
that is awesome.
Once you know that, you'll hear it in the things he says, even though he's doing a voice on the show.
Oh, you'll hear,
Yeah, you'll hear a little bit.
Oh, man, next time I watch it, I'm going to have to. I can kind of see that now. Now that you say that, I can kind of I can fit it in there. Okay. Huh.
Did you know that, so the two male aliens that had the egg together?
Yeah.
The husband, do you know who that was?
No.
So not the main character, the other one? Is name Walking Dead? Why can't I think of his name?
Oh, from the when he was in the prison.
For the prison, and the comic takes everybody, goes and locks himself in the
And takes out all the
takes out the walkers. Got killed by a bite to the arm randomly.
Yeah. Oh,
T-Dog?
No, not T-Dog. You know how they can only have one black actor on
at
a time? The one after T-Dog.
Oh, Tyrese.
Tyrese.
Yeah. I knew it was a T name.
But T-Dog got bit in the arm, too.
That's true. Yeah. You know what? I think I did recognize him, but I didn't know what he was from. But now you're saying
that's probably a terrible way to describe Tyrese.
Yeah.
I guess it could have been worse, but I don't know why I couldn't think of Tyrese's name.
I couldn't either.
He was one of my favorite characters.
He was one of mine too.
Chad Coleman is the actor's name. I know that.
Yeah.
But
he probably would have preferred if you referred to him as from his actor name, his fictional character.
Yeah, it's Tyrese.
Tyrese.
I feel bad for the guy, but the actor who played T-Dog. Hey, T-Dog!
Yeah. Because that's a character that they brought him in the comic book later on, right? Is that T-Dog? Or is he completely made up?
Tyrese was in the comic book.
No, before. T-Dog.
Oh, T-Dog, yeah. No, he's not.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know if they brought him in later on.
Mm-mm.
So, okay.
Nope.
Because I knew he wasn't in the beginning. So, it was Tyrese. And I thought maybe the... When the show, when the
T-Dog got never started.
Yeah, I know he didn't. But I thought maybe they had changed the character Tyrese into T-Dog. I thought that was like what they were doing.
No, because Tyrese didn't come around to the prison.
Yeah,
And he was supposed to be an ex-football player.
Yeah, which was that's weird that they didn't do that.
I finished the latest graphic novel, Walking Dead graphic.
Yeah, I'm way behind. I gotta get caught up on it.
Man, you do.
Is it good?
It's pretty crazy.
Is it pretty crazy? Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, the other thing we were going to talk about, I guess, or are we done talking about the Orville?
Yeah.
You guys didn't watch The Inhumans yet, right?
No.
No. Not yet.
Will I.
Nor will you. Really? You're going to take this? I mean,
I'm going to take the step.
I had really low expectations just because of everything you've kind of heard about it.
Well, the fact that it was advertised as watch the complete series beforehand, when you know at that point they're already not planning on...
Right. Yeah, they're not going to go any further with it. Yeah.
That is a real problem for me with shows. Whenever I know that they're canceled, it's hard for me to finish them.
Yeah.
Unless I know that they're going to build to an ending story. Yeah. So...
Oh, is it...
The same thing happened with me and Constantine. I fell behind on the episodes, found out it got canceled. I never watched it. And I loved it.
I did too. And the way it ends, I was like, oh man.
I just didn't want to be pissed off.
Yeah. Right. Well, I'm hoping. So they're not renewing Inhumans already? They decided they're. Is that you've heard that?
I have not officially heard that. Oh, okay. However, it was advertised by the studio or whatever something as watch the complete series.
Oh, okay. That makes me wonder. I don't know, but it's not horrible. Okay. I don't think it's probably like if I were to rate it as far like if I were to compare it to another like comic book type of show, I'd probably think of like DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
Okay.
In that regard, where it's like, you know, I heard season two was way better. I'm comparing it with season one.
Okay.
Where it was, you know, it was okay.
It couldn't find its grounding. I think it's falling into where Orville is now. Season one,
and it's just that, like they did weird some things that they did with the show. I mean, it's not really weird, I guess, but...
Well, what Mark Bernardin was talking about is absolutely insane to me.
Yeah, and I don't think it's as bad as what Mark Bernard was saying. He has points with the things that he said.
Spoiler? You okay with a spoiler?
I'm good with spoilers.
We're spoiling here.
Yeah.
What is one plot point that you would never want to see happen to Medusa?
Well, you don't want to get her hair. You don't want to cut her hair.
And they cut it all off.
Yeah.
In the first episode.
Yeah.
Like she apparently is walking around like...
Bald. Like, I mean, not completely bald. It's like a buzz cut.
Like 2002 Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But like some Annie Lennox. Even worse?
No, it was shorter than Annie Lennox. Wow. More like Sinead O'Connor.
Okay.
Than Annie.
Yeah. Got it.
Also, because she was ripping up pictures of the Pope.
Yeah.
With her hair.
It kind of makes sense when it happens in the episode.
I understand, it's a thing.
It's an unfortunate thing.
Right. That, you know, episode two, Black Bolt gets laryngitis.
Well, you know, they have the
episode three Puck gets a growth spurt.
They have to you know save on the CGI, so that's why they had to cut her hair.
And Mark Bernard says as much that but I just wonder if it really is that is the reason because I mean. You know, when you look at shows like The Flash and stuff like that, they use CGI all the time. And it doesn't seem, you know, to do hair out and think,
Flash is popular.
This is true.
You got that, but then if you're doing hair, that's every strain has to move.
That's
a lot of time.
Kind of the way they made it look. It's every strain, but more it's chunks of hair, kind of. You know, that's kind of how it works in the comics.
Well, I understand, but I think one little hair goes, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe her hair will grow back in the next episode or so. I don't know. I'm just, you know, hopefully something like that happens. But Yeah, I didn't have as much of a problem with it as I thought I would have.
Okay.
With that aspect of it, but it, I mean, I'm going to watch the whole season just to see what happens. But
so you're the one.
I'll be the one. I'm going to take one for the team.
I'll join you. Like I said, I gotta watch the first episode.
I'm just curious, how they're going to, because I'm assuming they're going to somehow tie it in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Just, oh yeah.
It's some, like I said, some of the choices that they make, it's just kind of weird the way that they've taken it, but, you know, I don't, and I'll just say this, they don't make the Inhumans, at least those Inhumans, the ones that we know from the moon and stuff, mm-hmm. you know, from Adlan or whatever.
Yeah.
They don't make them the ruling, like, Black Bolt and those people, like, that are kind of the leadership.
Right, the family,
the royal family. They don't make them super sympathetic the way that they kind of portray them. I mean, you know, you're supposed to be sympathetic towards them. That, I had more of an issue with that, I think, than Medusa getting her hair cut off.
I'm going to be honest, though. I never liked the Inhumans.
I was never a huge fan of them either.
I mean, they were what they were.
Yeah.
I just never liked them. The only one.
I mean, I liked Lockjaw, just because it's a teleporting giant dog. Yeah. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I liked Crystal because I saw her in other things. I liked her
because she dated Ben Grimm
or Johnny Storm. Yeah.
Alicia Masters was.
Yeah, Ben Grimm. Yeah, and that's why I liked her too, oddly enough, or maybe appropriately enough. But yeah.
Yeah, I never could get behind the Inhumans. There was never an Inhuman who I was like, I like to relate to my characters somehow.
Yeah.
Some way. And they just seemed very bland, you know?
Yeah.
Their whole character was the fact they had superpowers, not they weren't a character who then gained superpowers. You know, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was like never like, and oh, the Inhumans?
Yeah.
The Inhumans. But I mean, I kind of respected Black Bolt with the whole Avengers Illuminati thing.
Yeah.
They made Black Bolt more interesting because of that.
And, you know, there is something interesting about Black Bolt. You know, when you have a ruler who can't speak out loud at the day, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, there is something to be, I guess, sympathetic about that. But nonetheless, I'm just not. I never liked the characters, and I thought it was a strange choice. And I get the fact they don't have the Marvel Cinematic Universe doesn't have mutants, and they have to find some way to give people powers, so they do it somehow different than being.
But it's almost like the other Inhumans that they probably had on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in a way are kind of almost more interesting, in some regards, you know, because they were humans first and then became Inhumans.
I would have rather seen Alpha Flight than.
Oh man!
Than I don't know if I could go.
I think I would like to see Puck. I'd like to see that, or even Excalibur.
I would love. Well, yeah, but they can't. Marvel can't make that.
That's an X Man.
Oh yeah, I guess so. Captain Britain's not really a.
Is he?
No, he's not a mutant. I think the only mutant,
his sister is.
But they're kind of the whole X. I guess kind of falls probably under.
Yeah,
mutant.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Nightcrawler. You've got Jean Grey and what's her face's daughter, Rachel Summers.
That's right. Yeah. It's a little Megan.
Yeah, she's like
Kitty Pryde.
Yeah,
maybe you should just have a Captain Britain movie or a show.
Yeah, I don't know if that ends up falling into the.
Yeah, you're probably right. Because Juggernaut does, you know.
Yeah.
He's not really a mutant per se.
Right. But that's the X-Universe.
Yeah.
So, what other teams would I rather see than Inhumans? Power Pack?
I'd rather see the Power Pack.
New Warriors.
New Warriors for sure.
Yeah, New Warriors for sure.
Yeah.
West Coast Avengers.
You know,
I would like to see the Great Lake Avengers.
Yeah. I haven't seen too much about the Great Lake Avengers to really have an opinion too much one way or the other.
No,
that's Squirrel Girl, right?
Yeah, Squirrel Girl. Yeah. And
I probably like the.
I think it would just be kind of funny because they're like, we're Avengers, we're the Great Lake Avengers, but no one really yeah. respects.
I would rather have DP7 and Psi-Force. Ah! Kickers Incorporated.
Yeah. Oh man!
Wow,
we're digging deep here.
So we're in the universe right now. I would rather have Mark Hazard, Merc, as a solo.
Oh. Oh my goodness! Oh
yeah. I mean, I'll say this too. When they were first announced that they were going to make a motion picture of the Inhumans, I was like, "Wow, okay."
Yeah.
And then when it got, you know,
well, we're downgraded to a series. We're going to show it in the theaters, yeah, but yeah, I was yeah, like, well, yeah. why would I do that?
In IMAX theaters.
Like, why would I do that when I can watch it?
It's on a bigger screen. It's still going to be the same show.
Right.
You know.
Like, instead of just paying my cable.
I guess I read one thing where it made more money, though, in IMAX than... Because they did one of the season premieres of Game of Thrones in the theater, mm-hmm. and on IMAX as well. It made more money than the season premiere of Game of Thrones.
No.
In the theater. So, I mean, it made money, I guess, apparently. So
I can see that because not everyone has HBO.
And, so maybe they don't all know about the show. Yeah.
So, but that's good. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe they'll have a decent crossover between Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Inhumans. So.
Maybe it paid for itself. I don't know.
Yeah.
So. All right. Yeah. So Inhumans, not all bad. I don't think. I'm going to, you know, it's got potential.
Not all Inhumans are bad.
Not all Inhumans are bad. Just some of them.
That's the difference between humans and Inhumans, right?
There you go. There you go. All right. Is there any other updates? Talk about. No.
Well, we haven't seen it. Well, you have.
I have, yeah.
We haven't because
our
lives are terrible.
Yeah. We'll save maybe it for another episode.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
But we can say it's the highest grossing horror film of all time.
Yes. And did I enjoy it? Yes, I did.
There you go.
Yeah. I look forward to seeing the chapter 2 or the next, you know, see who they cast for different characters and stuff. So.
All right.
So I guess on with the episode's main topic, main talking point. Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
All right. Did we say what we were going to talk about yet? I don't know if we did. Comic book movies.
Movies
that could have been based on a comic book.
There you go.
Reloaded.
Part Deuce. Volume 2. Electric Boogaloo.
Extra Chris. 100% more Chris in this episode.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All the Chris. There was zero Chris in the first episode.
That's right. So
we had a little Chris.
Not
Chris.
Oh, we had Chris. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I was going to say, and then I was like, oh, wait. Yeah.
Was it crisp? Was it fresh?
It wasn't Chris. Got it.
Yes. Yeah. There was. Zero Chris.
So we're back. We brought some Chris.
Now I have 5 choices, and they brought 5 new ones.
Yes.
5 new ones.
Sorta. Yes. Pretty much.
There you go.
Yeah.
What?
No, mine are new. I've got the first one I'll talk about.
Well, I meant we have 5 new ones.
Yes. Yeah.
Mine's 100% new.
That's true. All right.
Meanwhile.
I guess, as...
Tradition holds. Sam will start us out.
All right. As tradition holds, my number 5 movie that could have been a comic book movie is 2008's Hancock, starring Will Smith, Jason Bateman, and Miss Charlize Theron.
I forgot Jason Bateman was in that movie.
Yes.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yes. In case we do a little recap, Hancock is somewhat of a superpowered being who tries to catch crime, but basically when he does, he basically tears up the city, costing the city millions of dollars of damage. So one day Hancock saves a man Jason Bateman's character, and he wants to help Hancock change his image. And so they begin to work together and everything. Meanwhile, Jason Bateman's...
Meanwhile!
Jason Bateman's wife, who is played by Charlize Theron, all of a sudden is fearing... is having a strange reaction when she sees Hancock. And it comes to find out that they...
Meanwhile,
and it comes to realize that Hancock and her were lovers in past lives, and that they were in fact angels that came down to Earth. And
was that what that was?
Yeah.
Were they angels though?
They were angels.
Okay.
Yep. They were angels.
I thought they were Egyptian deities.
Nope. They were angels. Huh. Because they were the last ones left.
That's okay.
And so
I remember they were the last ones left.
Yeah. They were angels. Yeah.
I believe you. Maybe it was supposed to be originally.
I don't know. But and so adventure ensues there. One of the downfalls is that when Hancock and Charlize Theron's characters get together, the longer they are together, the more that they lose their powers and become human. So that becomes a problem. When we were going over this list and I picked Hancock, he's a superpower being, and he's got the comic books and everything. But I thought if they ever wanted to expand more on the subject, because as they made him an angel, he could, face like other superpowered entities or deities that come to Earth, and even possibly the normal bad guys, of course, armored guys and everything, but also supernatural villains he could actually face. Because if he's an angel, then that means that there possibly could be demons.
Do that. Yeah.
So you got to find someone who's just as powerful as Hancock to combat him. So I always thought that when Hancock came out, it had mixed reviews.
Yeah.
And
I will say this. When it came out, I was just like, I don't want to see this movie. Because the reason why I felt that way is because I knew it was like a superhero type movie.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem that I had with it was like a whole new suit. Like there's all these superheroes they could have chosen, movies that they could have made.
Mm-hmm.
They had to just... It was almost like, okay, well, we're just going to create a superhero.
Right.
We'll throw in a megastar in it, Will Smith.
Aha, getting jiggy with it.
We'll get everybody in here because of Will Smith, not because of the character they're creating or anything. Yeah. But I will say this, though, once I actually watched the movie, I liked it.
Yeah, it's one of those movies where if you see it for the first time, you're like, oh, okay. But if you like keep watching, it kind of grows on you where you're like, this was kind of ahead a little bit, but that's what I thought.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah. I had low expectations because I was like, oh, it's a new franchise made just for a movie.
And for some reason, the scene that always pops in my head is when Hancock is sleeping on a bench and the little boy from ABC's The Middle comes by and he has that voice because he's the same.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Hancock! That guy, and I'm just like, it's like the funniest thing to me because this voice is like, how is that voice coming from that little kid?
Yeah.
So, that's my number five, Hancock.
I want to just chime in something real quick. I really enjoyed about half of that movie. I really liked the first half.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And then the second half to me just fell apart. It was like it had me, and then it just suddenly lost me. And I don't know the implausibility of amnesia and all that other stuff. I mean,
oh.
his, you know, it just
Yeah, because they didn't know that they knew each other in past lives.
Yeah, she knew, but...
She knew, but he didn't. Because he got beat up in an alley or something. I forget what it was.
Right.
Just implausibility. I don't know.
Well, because I think what the most... What I took away from it was... Because over the millennia, they were always together, but something always happened where he was always protecting her. So that means he was always getting hurt. So I think to the part is you love someone so much, but you can't be with them. So hence why they have to be on the different sides of
the earth,
well, at least the country. Yeah. Because he's in New York now and she's
like me and Rick being on opposite sides of the table.
Sure. Yeah. Right. Yep. That's it.
If we sit on the same type of table, it's so we lose our powers.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And our clothes. Whoa.
That's a different kind of party.
That's a different kind of party. We don't lose our windows. That's a different kind. Yes.
All right. Are we done with number five?
I think so. Okay, yeah.
We're done. Any more Hancock jokes?
No.
I will say.
And the name Hancock, too. I mean, come on. It's just ripe for.
Right.
Especially with that little kid's voice in it, too. Hancock?
Yeah.
Hancock.
I like Hancock. There you go.
Yeah.
I get probably no one will go see Foot Dick though. That's true.
Not as popular.
Not as popular. Footloose maybe.
Footloose. Yeah. Footloose and Hancock.
Yeah.
That's a power couple right there.
That'll be the next movie. He'll have his sidekick.
Seriously, Footloose and Hancock sounds like the worst detective duo.
I gotta dance. And I feel frustrated.
Yeah.
Oh man, I would watch Footloose and Hancock.
Yeah, that sounds like it'd be pretty good.
All right, number five for me. We kind of made a strange deal too, because of some overlap in our lists, and we're just going to get this out of the way, even though it probably would have been much higher up on my list if not. But my number five is Unbreakable.
Yes.
Aha.
A 2000 film from M. Night Shyamalan.
Shyamalan.
I wonder if he gets tired of being called Shyamalan and Ding Dong.
I would think he's probably heard that.
Well, I know. Right? I mean, it's said all over the place, but the fact that everybody says that rather than trying to actually pronounce his name. Anyway, stars Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson. And it is amazing. I really enjoyed it. Follow up to The Sixth Sense. Wasn't really expecting another surprise ending.
Yeah.
Got one suddenly, which I figured out approximately 30 seconds before we were supposed to. Whereas, like, The Sixth Sense didn't dawn on me at all.
Yeah.
I just all of a sudden I realized, oh my gosh, this is where they're going, and that was where they went. A lot of people I think predicted a lot sooner than me, but
no, I probably had it right around it.
Probably around that time.
Yeah.
And then
I was like, oh,
this is what's going to happen here. Oh, and then there it is.
Yeah. And then from that point forward, I think everyone expected the twist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
the village.
Yeah.
10 minutes into it, I'm like, wouldn't it be cool if this was all taken care of and placed in the modern world? And then it happened, and I was like, no, it wasn't cool at all.
Yeah.
It was visually beautiful, but whatever. Anyway.
Or that plants are trying to kill us.
No, we don't talk about that.
Yeah, that's right. But I thought
that stars He Who Shall Not Be Named.
That's right.
Yeah.
But after Unbreakable, I thought, man, this director has some visions.
Yeah.
With a twist.
So it's a story of in essence, a man discovering that he is superhuman, he is unbreakable. Along the way, he is helped by a comic book art dealer, I believe is
that's correct.
Named Elijah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And played by Samuel L. Jackson and whatever. I mean, I don't think it's spoilers at this point for movies.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it.
20 years old, but it's revealed that all along that the events that are taking place that caused him to realize, in his case, it was a train crash, that Elijah actually caused the train, because he was looking for someone who was the opposite of him. And Elijah was very fragile, and so he was looking for someone who was unbreakable, and he found it, so he would be his arch nemesis, you know?
Yeah.
It built to that really well. It was a slow movie. I've had friends that called it unwatchable. Because if you're expecting an action film, it's not. It's a character study, and it's kind of a what if a comic book came to life. And he frames things beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
As almost like comic frames, things between the seats, you see, you know, and windows and things like that. So I don't know. I thought it was wonderful.
Yes. And at the time when it came out, after I watched it, I thought to myself, that is the best like comic book movie that they had out at the time.
Right.
I watched it opening night.
I don't know if I watched the opening night.
It was opening weekend. It might not have been Friday. Yeah. It might have been Saturday. But regardless, I watched it opening weekend, and I just remember being blown away.
Yeah, and I felt the same.
And I wanted to go tell everyone about it. Yeah. You know, but then you can't because you don't want to ruin it for other people.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I think I told my mom about it. I don't think she cared at all.
Yeah. She's like, that's great. That's
great. Maybe you should go get a job.
But that's probably my favorite movie of his, actually.
I think so.
Yeah.
I really like The Sixth Sense too, though.
Yeah, I do too. I haven't seen that though. I haven't seen that recently. The Sixth Sense. I've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Either way. Okay. I didn't. But, Unbreakable I've seen many times. Just because, I don't know, I just like the way the story, it is slow, like you said, but it just, I like the way it plays out.
There's some things that, to me, didn't make sense, like, necessarily, that I felt were unnecessary for the storytelling, like the, I don't know, but whatever. The use of color in Unbreakable, because I had read about his use of the color red in The Sixth Sense and how red indicates death in The Sixth Sense. So it makes sense if you watch even the red handle on the door, whatever, on the closet. Anyway,
right.
Because of that, I was looking for color. And every time Elijah is around, there's purple.
Okay. I think I do.
David Dunn's color is green, so green is him. There was another thing for his wife. Like, when bad things were happening, purple was around, and when good things were happening, green was around. So David puts on the green cloak to go out to fight crime. The room that his wife is staying in when she's, like, thinking about leaving him is purple. You know, and the inside to his leather jacket, Elijah's leather jacket, I believe, is purple. So I remember all the looking for color themes, trying to figure out stuff from there. But that was it. And when you're at the point when your second movie, when you're already playing with different color, it's kind of fun for me.
That is cool. Yeah. All right. Anything else about Unbreakable? Are we on to?
I would like to hear your number five, and then we can talk more about Unbreakable.
Yes, okay. My number five, big shocker, the movie Split.
Yep.
The unexpected sequel
to
Unbreakable. And we actually saw this movie together, and we're blown away by it. At the time when we went to go see it, I, just because of the past few movies that he has had, have been lukewarm at times, other times even worse than that, maybe. But Split was really good. It seemed almost like a return to form for him. You know? Definitely felt like Unbreakable.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't realize it until at the end.
Right.
Where, spoiler, it's a sequel to Unbreakable. So, in that movie, we have James McAvoy play kind of the unexpected, well, I don't know if it's unexpected so much as he's the villain, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he has multiple personalities, and he keeps talking about, what is he referred to as, the Beast, I believe, something like that. About how it's bigger, stronger than he is and everything. We're just thinking this is all part of his imagination, that it's not really going to manifest that personality in that way. But then we find out that when he does take on that persona, that he is actually bigger.
Somehow physically changes.
Yeah, physically changes, yeah. And becomes more powerful and everything. And I don't want to get too spoilered with it, I guess. But
we already spoiled it.
I guess, yeah. Podcast, yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. We don't really.
We spoiled Sam.
Yeah, we did. But, yeah, that movie was really good.
It was.
Yeah.
It was a great origin film for a supervillain that you didn't know you were watching an origin film for a supervillain.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I appreciate that movie so much, too, that it's, you know.
You're not expecting a sequel. I just read something interesting, too, is that the studio that made Split is not the same studio that did Unbreakable.
Oh, got really?
Well, yeah, because it was a smaller film and it was an offshoot of a different studio, but they got permission to do it. So the next movie, which is Mr. Glass, I believe, it's going to be Samuel Jackson's movie somehow.
Yeah.
Is technically both Split 2 and Unbreakable 2.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Interesting. I wonder how it's going to work out.
I don't know. I don't know if they have to split it or what.
Have they started working on the...
I believe the screenplay. I don't know if they've... And they've signed Samuel L. Jackson.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. But yeah, Split was... I enjoyed the movie.
A-OK.
All right.
Yeah. I guess...
Go to my number four.
Transition to number four.
My number four.
The Quattro.
My number four is the 2014 movie John Wick.
John Wick.
Yes. About a retired hitman who, after having his car stolen and... by these robbers and his dog being killed, the dog was given by his late wife, he goes back into the killing business and gets revenge.
This is the simplest movie ever. It's so good.
It is so good.
I haven't seen this movie yet.
You
gotta see John Wick.
No, I haven't. No.
Get the F out.
I know.
Dude, there's a John Wick 2.
I know there is. And I've been wanting to see both of them. I've seen little clips of John Wick about different things, like on YouTube or whatever. And I'm just man, this movie looks so good.
Dude.
So I want to watch it. And every time I'm looking forward to be available on like Netflix or something like that, and I haven't seen it.
Go to the public library and
get John Wick.
John Wick.
Because I've heard it's very good.
John Wick and John Wick 2.
Hey, you guys haven't seen it yet.
We've had like 3 weeks.
Right. I know, that's true. This is 2014.
Yeah. You've had three years.
Now. 3 years.
Okay.
John Wick. I mean, it's just, it's like basically Punisher and I don't even know how to describe it.
It's like Batman, only instead of... But he's already trained as the Punisher.
As the Punisher.
So, and instead of killing his parents, they killed his dog.
They killed his dog.
And stole his car.
Can't even say Deadpool, because he doesn't even lie. He doesn't even say anything about Deadpool. He's just... It's like Deathstroke. It's literally like Deathstroke have his own movie.
Because everything I've heard about it... You know, he's just an unbelievable badass. People mention his name and they basically crap their pants.
He's like the retired hitman that was the perfect hitman, you know?
Yeah.
But he's retired.
And he's retired.
And then a big crime boss's son likes his car, so they break in to steal it and they end up killing his dog.
Right.
His dog was the last thing that his dead girlfriend gave him. Dead wife gave him.
Right.
So it was like, okay, you fall down the thunder.
That was the last tittering thing of his humanity. He's like, oh, okay, you guys want me back now?
So there's this amazing scene where the son is back there and like the dad finds out about it and he's like, you did what? You know, it's like, oh. It's like, do you know who this guy is?
Before that, he takes the son, the mobster's son, takes the car to a chop shop. And the guy who played by John Leguizamo is the head of the chop shop. Shout out to John Leguizamo. And like, whose car is this? And he's like, some guy. No.
It's a very nice.
It's a very specific car. Yeah. And he's like, no. Whose car is this? And he's like, what are you talking about? He literally slaps the guy.
Yeah.
He literally slaps the mobster's son. And the mobster's son's like, who is played by the actor who played Theon from Game of Thrones.
Oh, man.
Okay. What is that? I forgot that.
Yeah. And so he's like, I'm going to tell my dad. Like, you tell your dad that I just slapped you and have him give me a call. And so he goes back, like, Daddy, I got slapped. And so he calls, he's like, did you slap my son? And he's like, yes, I did slap your son. Can you tell me why you slapped my son? Yes, I can. He stole John Wick's car. Okay, thank you. You did what? I mean, it's so good.
But it's the simplest thing ever. You killed a man's dog, and he's gonna get you're gonna get revenge on the entire world.
Right.
It's
brilliant in its simplicity.
Brilliant in itself, and with the mob, even the mob boss is like, you don't understand. He's like, John Wick is, if you want the boogeyman dead, you call John Wick. Like. So, it's just the fact, and then John Wick 2 sets it up like perfectly for some more mayhem, and this could be just a comic book series that goes on. So that is my number 4, John Wick. You have to go see this. You have to get this movie, Rick. I probably will find it in my collection somewhere and will let you borrow it.
All right, absolutely.
I currently possess it.
Do you really?
Yeah. In the Bay of Pirates.
In the Bay of Pirates.
No, I am.
Dead Men Tell No Tale.
Scurvy. Let's just say there's a certain stream that you could find it on. Anyway. My number 4, I'm not going to have a ton to say because I literally have not seen this movie since I saw it in the theater.
Okay, all right.
However, and it's a movie that technically is based on a comic book, but so loosely based on the comic book that it doesn't count. All right. And this movie stars Hank Azaria.
Hank Azaria.
Claire Forlani.
Okay.
Janine Garofalo.
Oh, okay.
Eddie Izzard. Greg Kinnear. William H. Macy. Kel Mitchell. Lena Olin. Paul Rubens. Jeffrey Rush. Ben Stiller. Wes Studi. And the immortal Tom Waits. I pray immortal Tom Waits. And it's Mystery Men.
I was going to pick this.
It is, however, based randomly on Flaming Carrot comics.
Yeah.
But it has really nothing in common with Flaming Carrot comics. But it's written by the same guy, and it must have been based on themes or something that he brought up. It's the story of people with, like, really useless superpowers that kind of come together as a team. Strangely enough, they have to save the actual superhero who played by Greg Kinnear, who is actually good at his job.
Yeah.
But Greg Kinnear has, correct me if I'm wrong, they did something to release like his villains from the asylum. He did it himself because there wasn't anything. He was going to lose his corporate sponsorships. So he needed to get his bad guys out of jail. So he went to release them. They end up like blowing up the asylum and kidnapping him.
Yes.
And so then the Mystery Men have to take after that. I enjoy it because I enjoyed it in the theater because I love Hank Azaria. I've always loved Hank Azaria.
Did your wife know about this?
She watches.
Oh, okay. Hank Azaria.
Well,
we don't want to talk about Godzilla, do we?
It doesn't exist. Yeah. So. No, but we will talk about The Simpsons.
Yeah, we will talk about The Simpsons.
Yes, yeah.
Thank you. Come again.
Yeah. Like every third voice on that show is him.
Yeah, yes.
Between him and what's his face? from Spinal Tap, Harry Shearer.
Oh, yeah.
Such talent. Anyway, Adventures Are Ahead. Tom Waits is in it. And you put Tom Waits in anything and I'll watch it at this point. Between this and him as Renfield and Dracula.
I didn't realize he was Renfield and Dracula.
Yeah, Renfield was Dracula.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's go back and watch it now.
I said I loved Hank Azaria. I really like Hank Azaria. I love Tom Waits. All the way from back before I could before I would have ever listened to him when I was a child. He's got the strangest voice.
Yeah.
Singing voice. It's just fun to hear him sing. He's good at acting. He writes the weirdest songs.
Yeah.
He made the absolute... He has a song about a chocolate Jesus. Regardless. Him introducing it in concert, and he referred to it as the Immaculate Confection.
Wow.
At that point, I just love him.
There you go.
Yeah. I steal that joke every Easter when my wife makes chocolate crosses. Every Easter.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
But yeah, it was. I remember it being an okay movie that I enjoyed. It bombed.
I do remember it bombing.
Yeah, it cost like 60-some million and made 30-some in its entire theatrical run. So
sent comic book movies back several years, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, $68 million and made $33 million. Rotten Tomatoes has a score of 60% based on 101 reviews, though. So
it's not bad. Yeah. I think it has a cult following because I
remember being uneven. That's what I remembered. I remember there were parts that I really liked and parts that kind of dragged a little bit. It's got our urine buddy in it, Ben Stiller.
Oh yeah.
I like Ben Stiller though.
Yeah, I did. I did too. Yeah. It was like Paul Rubens when he's making his comeback.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Watch what words you use when you're talking about Paul Reuben.
Right.
Hancock, bad guy.
Hancock, come back.
Wait,
no.
All right. I guess we'll move on to...
You masturbate in one theater and people just don't forget.
Exactly. You get labeled.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah,
can't live near schools. Word of the day.
There you go. Yeah. So my number four,
Quattro.
Is it Quattro? My Quattro. It's a movie. When I watched it as a kid, it's actually the first R-rated movie I saw in the theater.
Okay, really?
Yes.
Mine was Jacob's Ladder.
Jacob, whoa, that's a really that's a hard R.
That is a hard R, man.
Yeah, that's whew. The movie that I'm talking about is RoboCop. I think it has everything that you kind of need in a superhero movie. I mean, we kind of were talking about that it has become a comic book afterwards, but it was a movie first, though. But I absolutely love this movie.
It's so good.
I had the RoboCop movie poster in my room. I mean, I was pretty obsessed about RoboCop. You know, it's got the whole story arc where you have the tragedy or the event that occurs that makes him become super powered, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he gets shot up and left for dead, but then he's resurrected as RoboCop, and then his memory is kind of the tragedy is he's not human anymore. His wife is kind of left and everything. So,
mm-hmm.
But RoboCop, he's awesome. He's just he's part cop and part robot. You can't beat that. So yeah, Peter Weller as Alex Murphy. Loved it. Everything about that movie. It's still to this day I can watch it, and anytime. I love the crazy dystopian future that they present.
Mm-hmm.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's a really good movie.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it in forever, but it's a really good movie. You got Red from that 70s
show. Right, yeah. He gets all toxic wastes all over him, and he just turns. Yeah,
yeah.
It's great. Or no, he does.
The henchman.
Yeah, one of his henchmen gets it. Yeah, mm-hmm. he gets spiked in the neck by RoboCop.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Peter Weller.
But yeah, I like watching Red in that 70s show. It's not bad.
Yeah, who wrote the sequel?
Yeah, Frank Miller.
I know.
Yeah.
You wanted it to be so good.
I wanted it to be so good, yeah. And it just... And some, you know, and even on top of that, you know, because I loved the first one so much. Mm-hmm. I really wanted the second one.
They had a bigger robot.
They had a bigger robot.
But he was on crack.
And just the you know, Frank Miller, he makes some strange plot choices at times, I think.
Here's some trivia I did not know about RoboCop 2.
What's that?
It was the last movie directed by Irvin Kershner, director of Empire Strikes Back.
Really? I did not know about that either. Yeah, that's
weird. Empire Strikes Back, Never Say Never Again, and RoboCop 2.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the big problem I have, like the kid drug lord thing, it doesn't make sense to me. Yeah. I mean, I understand he's, you know, Frank Miller's trying to say how bad the future is because it's so bad that kids are becoming drug lords.
Exactly.
But come on. I mean, I could see the kid being a drug dealer, but being a drug lord. Yeah, yeah. Come on. Yeah. You know, okay.
Well, it did bring it back in Tropic Thunder. There was a kid who
was there.
Was he the kid in Tropic Thunder?
Yeah.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was a kid.
I didn't realize that.
I don't remember Tropic Thunder. I watched it once and enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Huh. He's the one that shot the bazooka. And he
was... Interesting. Okay, I'm going to have to go back and watch Tropic Thunder. But, yeah, my Quattro.
I heard, by the way, this is... Robert Downey Jr. Warren Downey Jr. smoked a cigarette. Robert Downey Jr. Makes a comment in the film that he doesn't break character until he's done with the DVD extra, whatever the commentary,
mm-hmm.
and that he apparently does the commentary track in character for Tropic Thunder.
That's pretty awesome. Actually, that's pretty awesome.
But I just thought that was kind of cool.
Robert Downey Jr. seems like a pretty cool guy, actually. Yeah. Really. I mean, you know, I would like to hang out with Robert Downey Jr.
Maybe now, but I got a feeling in the 80s and 90s.
Back in the day. There's no question in my mind.
Yeah. The Robert Downey Jr. of today. Yeah. Because I gotta say, I was a little bit worried for Robert Downey Jr. there for a while, but he just seems to, you know, definitely clean. Because I mean, man, that stint on Ally McBeal, I don't know if you guys watched that at all or not. Girlfriend at the time loved Ally McBeal, and the one saving grace of the show for me was when they brought Robert Downey Jr. on her, and he was awesome on her. But then he ends up having some of his.
Addiction
problems, and
he was gone.
Yeah, he was gone for a little bit and on the show. And the next time we saw him was in Iron Man, so everything's great.
Oh,
so,
see, I had no idea he was in Ally McBeal.
Yeah, he was.
I never.
Yeah, yeah. And he's really.
You want to know why?
Hey, you never watched it
because we have taste.
I'm like, it was a dancing baby for Pete's sake.
The dancing baby.
I'm like, what?
Did you say you love the dancing baby?
No. I said no.
Oh, you were just
I love Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr. Like if he was still on the show might still be on. I think he was that good of a character. Oh well. Okay, maybe not.
So
Robert Downey Jr. though is awesome.
Real quick.
Yeah. Real quick. I'm trying to wrap
in your wallet right now. Do you have a man card?
I do. Okay. But
I'm just saying.
The choice was not for me to watch Ally McBeal.
I'm just saying. You're talking about how much Ally McBeal you've watched, but you've never watched John Wick.
Oh, yes.
So I'm just saying you're getting dangerous.
Yes. You're right. But I watched RoboCop, though. Multiple times. On the movie poster of RoboCop.
You know, what's funny is my wife never watched Ally McBeal. And she loves John Wick. So my wife is more manly.
Oh my. Okay.
Oh man.
I don't think, always pick on you.
I don't even think I've ever watched an episode of Ally McBeal.
I'm gonna stand by it though.
Was Lucy
Robert Downey Jr. on Ally McBeal was awesome.
Was Lucy Liu on that show?
She was.
Okay.
There you go. That's a reason to watch Ally McBeal.
But you didn't come up with that.
yeah, that's true. You did say that Robert Downey Jr. was the reason to watch it.
Yeah, that's true.
I was like, wait a minute.
Well, Lucy Liu? That's not the reason why I watched it, but it's a reason to watch it.
I don't know. I think it could have been an awesome show.
It could have been.
Could have been great.
No, she married
but I wouldn't know because I wouldn't watch the filthy motherfucker.
She ended up marrying Han Solo, so
then, and then you never really well, then she's on Supergirl, right? She's still on Supergirl.
I think she was on Brothers and whatever. I think it's Brothers and Sisters or something. I don't know. I just seen her skeleton walking around. I don't know. But, okay.
Robert Downey Jr. can act himself in any kind of role, I think. He's good. Super talented.
Even in Ally McBeal. Yeah,
even in Ally McBeal.
I did not know he was on there.
Yeah. He wasn't even on there for a whole season before he had issues, I think, though, if I recall correctly.
Man.
And everyone was like, he's going to come back. And I was like, I'm not watching this anymore. But yeah. So.
All right.
He was the love interest.
All right. Are we done with the Ally McBeal? Okay.
This is the all Ally McBeal podcast.
Anything else you want to talk about?
It's a very special issue.
I'll be back. I have to go use the unisex bathroom.
I think that was an Ally McBeal that you mentioned.
I can make references to things I don't watch.
Exactly.
All right.
RoboCop.
Yes.
RoboCop. Awesome. All right.
RoboCop. Love it.
Love it. All right. Number three. We're going to go to number three. It is 2001, and my number three is The One, starring Jet Li. It's a great name, bro. Yeah. It's a great name. It's about...
I know, right?
It's about a police officer.
Jet anything, really. Jet, yeah. And then you...
Jet plane. That's not cool.
Yeah,
not cool. Leaving on a jet plane. See, there you go.
I would just give people piggyback rides. Would you like to leave on a jet plane?
Well, that could be a good good pickup line. You will leave on a jet plane.
Yeah. Have you ever been on a jet plane?
Yes.
Would you like to be?
Yeah. I thought this was a jet plane, girl. Just buckle up.
I'm going to take you there.
Be aware of the flotation device between your legs. So, all right. flotation device. All right. The One, starring Jet Li. He was a cop who found out that there was a double ganger of him. And come to find out that this particular double ganger was from a different universe. So an alternative reality, and come to find out that this particular doppelganger found out that if you kill your other selves in other universes, you become stronger. And so when Jet Li, the good guy, realized that he's starting to become stronger and more agile, the bad Jet Li comes and tries to kill him and realizes that the bad Jet Li's quest is to be the one. And so you also have time cops who are trying to track down the bad Jet Li, which was Jason Statham was in that movie.
And so
that is, when I looked at the movie and stuff and picked this movie, it was more of the fact that all the different multi-universes and, you know, comics really kind of deal with that, especially like DC deals with that a lot with the multi-universes and the multiple Supermans that has shown up in the DC universe. And when you're getting powers and abilities, it also kind of reminded me of Highlander because in the end, there could be only one.
Oh, yeah.
So I picked The One because of those reasons. That could be a comic book movie. So,
you seen this movie?
I believe, but I think I saw it, and it said it came out in 2001.
2001.
So 2002 is when I probably saw it.
Yeah. Probably like the end. Yeah.
I think I've seen it too.
But it was one. It was a one timer thing.
Yeah, it's a one timer thing.
Because I kind of remember Jason Statham, and
I don't remember Jason Statham.
That's the only reason it made me even think of it. Mm-hmm. The Statham.
He doesn't really fight in it though. Jason Statham doesn't really fight. There's like two movies that he's in with Jet Li that he doesn't really fight Jet Li. One is the one, and the other one I thought was
The other one.
Is the other one?
They should make a sequel to that called The Other One.
I'm trying to remember what it was. Oh, I think it was like Rival Nemesis or something like that. I'll look, but I digress.
All right. Just we'll.
My number three has Michael Rooker in it.
Michael Rooker, like Michael Rooker.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Like Samuel L. Jackson.
Like that.
And Hayden Christensen.
Hayden Christensen. All right.
It's not the greatest movie ever.
All right.
It was entertaining enough to watch one time.
Okay.
Totally could be a comic book.
All right.
It's called Jumper.
Oh, I've heard this one's that, really good.
That's
all right.
It has.
But it's not my favorite movie by any means.
Yeah.
I read the book. The book was better, I think, than the movie.
Yeah. It didn't do well in the box office, though, right?
I don't know.
It didn't do too well.
Doesn't it end like on a cliffhanger or something like that?
It ends where it could be more. Okay. And I think the movie got hit because of the Star Wars trilogy. But
it did $221 million worldwide.
That seems pretty good.
But it has strong possibilities, and you can easily say make a sequel.
So what it's about is a kid that falls into the ice when he's 15 years old and teleports. And, you know, out of the ice, you know, he has this traumatic thing that causes him to be able to teleport. So he's able to jump from one place to another. Then you fast forward and then it's Hayden Christensen before you're seeing like 12-year-old.
And that's like a thing. Aren't there a bunch of jumpers?
Yeah. Kind of premise? Mm-hmm. Well, there's premises that there is a bunch. However, Samuel L. Jackson and his group of people called the Paladins are hunting them down because they're religious nuts. And they believe that it's an affront to God to have those powers. And so they're hunting down jumpers and killing them.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So Samuel L. Jackson is a bad guy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a theme.
And one of the things I found interesting is that he doesn't use his powers for good to start with. He robs banks with them. And he's amassed a very confident lifestyle because he can teleport into a vault and take the money and teleport out. And
there you go.
And he's just stealing from banks that are insured.
Yep. What does he use? He's not completely bad, though. He does leave IOUs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I forgot about that. It's been a while, so. But it's a decent movie, and I mean, it's totally a comic book origin story with an arch nemesis and everything.
Yep.
And a small twist of an ending.
And a small twist, yes.
Uh-huh.
Spoilers. His mom was a paladin.
Oh!
Who, when he first jumped when he was little, and she realized that she knew she was going to be forced to have to kill her son, and left the paladins.
I
went on the run ever since then. So. It was good. I mean, it was decent.
Very good.
So, I mean, I don't have to say about it. But like I said, the book was a little bit better. Michael Rooker's his abusive stepfather.
I could kind of see him playing that role.
Yeah.
I like Michael Rooker. Seems like. Yeah. All right.
It's a lot cooler if you're, you know. Young and blonde, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's at least my experience with meeting him.
All right. So my number three. This is a movie that. Well, let me put that. Before we decided to revisit this topic, I kind of looked back at my list of films and. One of the ones that popped into my head or that I saw there, and I thought about this a little bit from looking at other movies that had similar things, was Out for Justice. And the comparison I had made was Out for Justice was a very similar movie that could have just been modified slightly, and it could have been the Punisher origin story, if you will.
So now we're, so your choice this time is Under Siege 2.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
Very similar movie with a whole lot more Gary Busey in it.
Mm.
Yeah. No, the movie that I'm talking about is very similar, I guess, thematically to Out for Justice, kind of. The movie I'm talking about has Charles Bronson in it, and it's Death Wish.
Ah.
So, yeah, Charles Bronson, you know, things happen to his family. It's been a long time since I've seen this movie, so I'm just going to kind of basically go from memory on it. I do remember really enjoying these movies. I remember watching these movies.
I think I've only seen the first one.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember watching them with my dad, because my dad was a big Chuck Bronson fan. And, yeah, he played, Charles Bronson plays the character Paul Kersey. And after things happen to his family, he goes on a one-man vigilante killing spree, killing, you know, bad guys, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And who does that sound like? That sounds like
the Punisher.
Yeah.
So, and I think if we just spend a little bit more time thinking about that theme, that it's a pretty common recurring theme, probably in movies. There's that one Kevin Bacon movie.
Oh, Death War.
I know. Yes,
Death War.
We talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's
he's
the Punisher, kind of in that as well.
It is.
Yep. So yeah, pretty common theme, used again and again.
It's so common that it's going to be used again in...
With, yes. And the new...
The new Death Wish.
With Bruce Willis.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that.
I'm not sure how I feel about it either. It'll probably be okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a premise that's simple enough that you have to do probably something really horrible to kind of make it bad, I guess. But... Yeah, let's go from there.
So when was the last time you've seen Death Wish?
Cool, man. It had early 90s, I'm thinking. Something like
that.
The
best part about Death Wish is the fact that in an incredibly minor, kind of similar to the Ben Stiller thing, an incredibly minor role. All
right.
Jeff Goldblum. Played Freak Number One.
Get out of here. Freak Number One. That is awesome.
Also, Christopher Guest is keeping Spinal Tap alive on here. It was Patrolman Riley.
Really?
Yes. Another just a little minor role. But anyway.
I feel like I need to go see Death Wish again.
Yeah.
Just for Jeff Goldblum. It's
just for Jeff Goldblum.
It's brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah. So. All right. That's my number three.
All right.
That moves us on to
The Deuce. In honor of the Indians. Give me the Cleveland Steamer. Give me that deuce.
Go Tribe.
Tickle my nipples. Go.
Whoa, we're dropping the deuce.
Dropping the deuce. Number two, the deuce.
The deuce.
All right, my number two is from 1995.
All right.
And it stars Sean Patrick Flannery?
Flannery.
Yeah, there you go.
That guy.
Sean, yeah. We're just
Sean.
Calling
Sean. Yeah,
Sean. Our good buddy Sean.
It has Jeff Goldblum.
Oh. It's Death Wish 2.
Freak number three this time.
Death Wish here.
Death Wish here. Lance Henriksen.
Oh, Lance Henriksen.
Yep.
Speaking of which, I watched Pumpkinhead. That's a great movie. It's got a lot of sequels. Yeah.
And Mary Steinberg in the movie is called Powder. Yes, it's about a young teenager who is found in a basement of an abandoned house. And he is...
it's been a long time since I've seen this movie.
Yeah. You find out that, you know, he's an albino. And so in a Texas town. So he goes to like a foster home. and tries to get acclimated with his surroundings, and they take him to school. He's really smart, but, you know, he's been in the basement all his life. So, and come to find out that through, like, the kids picking with him and stuff and him stressing out, he has telekinesis powers and kind of electrical powers, and that learns how to use those powers and also able to try to bring a town together. So it is more of a kind of a, like a mutant story of a person with superpowers and trying to adjust to their new life in the public, and can the public accept him for who he is.
Would you like to bring this party down?
Don't bring me down!
Oh, man.
I've never seen this movie.
No, really?
Out of moral conviction to not support the director.
Oh.
Ooh, who's the director?
The director's name was Victor Ronald Salva. In 1988, Salva was convicted of sexual misconduct with one of Clown House's underage stars, a 12-year-old boy, including videotaping one of the encounters. Commercial videotapes and magazines containing child pornography were found in his home. He pled guilty to lewd and lascivious conduct, oral sex with a person under 14, and procuring a child for pornography. He was sentenced to 3 years in prison, of which he served 15 months.
Wow.
You brought me down.
Yeah. Wow. Bruce. Yeah. served only 15 months.
Yeah. And then he went and made Jeepers Creepers as well. I mean, like, he's had an okay Hollywood career for someone who's found guilty of that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's talks of other directors and stuff that may be involved with similar things.
Yeah.
But not that I've actually been
convicted.
Where there's, like, rock solid evidence.
Right.
Singer.
Yeah, he's sitting, it doesn't really seem to have affected him either.
What was two most popular movies? What year did Powder come out?
1995.
Yeah, so he completed his parole in 92, so his two most popular movies came out after.
Wow.
Thanks, Chris.
Yep. Therefore, you like that.
I'm never going to watch Powder again.
Oh, I've never watched Powder again.
Yeah, I've watched it.
My work here is done.
Well, then there you go. Take that.
Convicted. Did I ever tell you about X-Men?
X-Men, what about?
The first X-Men?
What about?
So, again, grains of salt.
Okay, yeah.
But there's been several accusations over the years brought about Bryan Singer.
Yeah.
Some of them settled out of court through lawsuits, some of them dismissed, whatever. One of his best friends on the beach scene where the senator is coming out of the water and you can see one of the people who worked on the film behind the scenes, who's a really good friend of Bryan Singer, who put him in the movie specifically because he was a really good friend. And that gentleman went to jail for molesting children and currently works on, like, a Disney Channel show. Like,
how are these people getting jobs still? This is crazy.
Yeah, there's a documentary I watched about, and it seems to be pretty rampant in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Wow. It's pretty terrible.
Yeah.
All right.
Using up teenage boys.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Wow.
Creepy.
That is creepy.
All right. Have I successfully brought the podcast down to an all new low?
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Wow.
All right. Can you bring us back?
Probably. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, hold on. I'm not even ready for this. Let's see. Powder, child molester. Okay. My number two, my deuce.
Uh-oh.
Movie written by Max Landis.
Okay.
Who we've talked about several times. stars Dane DeHaan, Alex Russell, and Michael B. Jordan. It is Chronicle.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Have you guys seen
it? No, I didn't realize it was written by Max Landis.
Yeah.
I love Max Landis.
Yeah. So, you've seen it?
Seen Chronicle.
Yep. You haven't?
No.
Okay. Chronicle is the story of a young man who lives in an abusive house, begins videotaping his life. He's bullied. His cousin convinces him to go to a party, and so he's still videotaping things. He ends up leaving the party, whatever, but they convince him to come down to where they've seen something really cool. Bring your camera. We want to videotape this. They found this thing in a cave, this light, whatever. They go in there. The light turns from like blue to a reddish color. They all get like nosebleeds. They don't know what's going on. They all gradually then begin over the next course of his to develop telekinesis. Where the movie gets interesting is so you've got three people who have now telekinesis, and they're using it as pranks because they think, you know, they're making things float with their hands, they're causing people whatever. Well, the character that was always bullied begins to have kind of a mental snap, I guess you'd call it, where he's kind of tired of being bullied, and so there's a reckless driver who's acting like a jerk or whatever behind him, and all of a sudden, like, he just doesn't want to take it anymore, and he's just like, and knocks the car off the road. So his power is growing, everyone's power is getting more, they can suddenly start to fly, and it's just an all found footage film, which usually I don't like. They do it really well here. It's a little bit at the end where you're like,
really?
Still, it's well done.
Huh.
Like, he wants to have everything chronicled.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the name, Chronicle.
Ah.
So to the point where they're like fighting up in the air and he's telekinetically controlling cameras on him. You know, the bad guy is.
The bad kid,
yeah. And he went on to be the Green Goblin. In Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a really intelligent way to do a super-powered film on a low budget. It's really well done. So
it came off. It came off the cusp of Blair Witch and what's that one party movie?
Where the kids are all.
Yeah.
And they're having like that huge. I don't remember what that was called.
Yeah.
Came out in 2012. It's directed by Josh Trank. Went on to direct Fantastic Four.
No.
Isn't Michael B. Jordan?
No.
That guy.
Yeah.
So we need to erase him from history.
If you could go back in time and erase one man from history, who would you choose? I would choose Adolf Hitler. I would choose Genghis Khan. Josh Trank.
There you go. Whoa. All right, well, I guess that brings us to my deuce.
Your deuce.
My deuce is, I mean, I guess technically it is a superhero movie. So that's already...
Okay, then we'll establish that.
Yeah, we'll establish that.
Technically, so is mine.
Yeah,
so
that's true. The reason why I kind of picked this one, though, is because of how similar it is kind of story-wise to some superheroes that are, you know, maybe more established. And the movie I'm talking about is The Incredibles.
Okay.
Really, it's a family of superheroes, so if you switch some of their powers around a little bit, you got the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Essentially,
yes.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you wonder, well, why didn't they just make a Fantastic Four movie?
Because there's five of them.
There's five.
Because Disney doesn't own the... Oh.
Yeah.
Well, they don't, do they?
They do now.
No. Disney doesn't own the rights of
Fantastic Four.
Oh, you know what? They don't.
They don't.
But regardless, that was,
But,
Brad Bird, right?
Yes. Brad Bird. You know, the one thing I didn't realize, you know who did the voice for Syndrome? The villain?
Yeah, Jason.
Did you? I did not know that
until
just today.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, he was great.
Yeah, he was great. I didn't realize it was him, though.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I don't want to know. I don't want to rock your world right now.
Yeah?
Samuel Jackson's Frozone.
What? That one, you know, that's a shocker. I didn't know that one.
Did you know the father from Poltergeist?
Yeah, I didn't know
was
that.
The father of
Fred T. Nelson.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know
he had a show called Coach.
Yeah, I did have a show called Coach. Yeah.
His assistant coach, Patrick Starfish.
That's right. You're right. Dauber. Dauber.
Good pull there.
Dauber. But yeah, Jason Lee, I'm just kind of surprised by that. Yeah. I did not make that connection. But yeah, Incredibles. I don't really have
too that, much to that say movie's about
great. It is a great movie. I watched it relatively.
I cannot wait for the Incredibles 2.
I know.
Which is
supposed to be on
the way.
Yeah. On the way. You know,
he said
it's
he wouldn't
a good
do
movie.
It unless he had a great story. He's because he didn't want it to cash in, and I respect that a lot.
I do too. Yeah.
You know it's good when my wife is saying, why haven't they made Incredibles 2 every time she watches it?
Exactly. And that's the thing that I think is great about this movie, is despite the similarities to Fantastic Four, it's a better Fantastic Four movie than the actual Fantastic Four movie.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And that baby.
And that baby.
Is fantastic.
It is awesome.
The babysitter's funny, too.
Which is also what the director of Powder said. No, but seriously, the babysitter scenes, you know, with the baby and everything, and then at the end, and tying it all together with the cape.
Yes,
we don't wear the cape.
No capes,
no capes.
But yeah,
that is good.
I love Pixar.
Yeah.
For the most part, I can leave the Cars movies. I don't have any interest in them whatsoever. But
yeah. They could have stopped after the first one, probably.
I didn't like the first one that much.
Yeah, I wasn't super crazy about it either. But
really?
It's okay.
I kind of like Cars and Cars 2. I don't like planes, but I kind of like Cars and Cars 2.
Well, Disney did planes. Pixar didn't.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really? I didn't realize
that. They're from the makers of Cars. It's
right.
Plane.
They were from the makers because they're Disney.
Yeah,
Big Hero 6
is
a Disney movie. It's not Pixar.
Yeah.
So
speaking of which, I want them to do a big... Because they're supposed to be making a series of Big Hero 6.
Yeah, it's a series.
I have not seen Big Hero 6.
What? Really?
I've listened to a good portion of Big Hero 6 in the background at my house.
Yeah.
Or in the car.
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty good.
It's really good. I like it a lot, actually.
Yeah. Based on a comic book.
Yeah.
By Marvel.
By
Marvel.
See, I knew that Stan Lee was in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know this was cool.
Yep,
manga. Right?
It's also a comic, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was a short-lived comic first, then it became a manga. I could be wrong. Could be vice versa. But it was a comic for a short time.
All right. So we move on to number one.
You're going
to
R. Kelly this bitch?
Yeah. Whoa.
All right. It's the R. Kelly Memorial. Number one.
Whoa.
All right. My number one is...
Keeping with the people who like to do things with underage people, the R. Kelly.
Number one. Wow.
And they're not 14.
Yeah.
Well, it could be. I don't know what it does.
Who knows?
Yeah,
pisses on people. That's what
we'll leave that up to R. Kelly.
Leave that up to R. Kelly.
Yeah.
1998, What Dreams May Come, starring Robin Williams and Cuba Gooding Jr. And about a man who
I'm going to blow someone's mind right now. Based on a book by Richard Matheson, the author of I Am Legend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot. I actually did know that. I forgot that until you just mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great movie. I really like this movie, actually.
Yeah, it visually was a good movie. Yeah.
Give us the synopsis before I interrupt again.
The synopsis is... I was just waiting. I was like... The synopsis is a man... He finds himself that he has died. If the story goes... Their two children had died a year before, and we find out later in the movies, but you find out the man dies on the anniversary of when his children dies, and he finds himself in a place best known as heaven. And so he comes to find out that his wife, who's still alive, is on earth, can't take the fact that she lost both her kids and her husband, and she commits suicide, and she is sent to basically hell. And so the fact that is not the fact that she committed suicide, that she's in hell, it's the fact that her imagination will not let her become happy, so it creates its own hell. Just like him dying, his thought process is happy, so he kind of creates heaven. So he goes on a journey to get his wife out of hell, and he meets his spirit guide, which is played by Cuba Gooding Jr., and they go and do the impossible and go find his wife and bring her out of hell. So I thought,
gosh, it's the Sandman.
Exactly. That's why I picked it, because it's like, this is basically a Neil Gaiman.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Comic here. So
reminds me a little bit of some of the Alan Moore Swamp Thing stuff.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah. And it's funny, cause I actually, watching the movie the first time in the theater, I had those thoughts, because I didn't even know what the movie was about when I went and saw it. Actually,
it's a good movie.
It is.
And I think the way it was shot and like all the different colors that were used.
Yeah,
the color is beautiful.
Yeah,
yeah. When he's living in the painting,
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. It's really.
I will say this, and it's not a negative on the movie in any way.
Not directed by a
child, but the director. Was very much no. I'm just joking. The problem, I have a hard time watching Robin Williams movies now.
Oh, because
they all depress me, and that to me was a depressing movie to begin with.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't watched it since
the thought of watching Dead Poets Society right now, it's all these years later, is still heartbreaking to me thinking about the way he died. So.
Yeah.
Watching a movie that deals with suicide, like Would You Think of War, Dead Poets Society, is just I haven't been able to really sit through a Robin Williams movie since he died.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which is probably the last thing he would have wanted, is that for people to be affected in a negative way about his work, but nonetheless.
Yeah.
Anyone
thirsty?
Sam, you done with your drink?
Yeah, I'm done now.
Okay.
I'm done with my drink.
But that's a good pick. It does have a lot of...
Yeah, it is very comic booky. Yeah. Good pick.
I like that.
All right, my R. Kelly Memorial number one is a movie. Bear with me, because I'm not actually bilingual, despite being able to look up...
Quattro.
Starring Sergi Lopez, Maribel Verdú, Ivana Baquero, Doug Jones, Adriana Gill, Alex Angulo. One of those things is not like the others. is one of my favorite movies of all time, directed by Guillermo del Toro, and that's Pan's Labyrinth.
Ooh.
Or El Laberinto del Fano.
That's a good movie.
That's a good movie.
And that's also pretty depressing movie.
Pretty depressing movie. It's a movie that affects me when I watch it.
Well, the sequence where the one Nazi is killing
the dude, the rabbit hunter, with the butt of his gun or whatever it is.
Bottle, I think. Wasn't a bottle?
It might have been a bottle.
But yeah, it just
crushes his
nose. Oh my gosh.
It's just brutal. And then they pull out and he was actually rabbit hunting, and you're like, he died for nothing, you know?
They're
not Nazis. This is in Spain. This is after the Spanish Civil War. I thought they were Nazis too the first time. I wasn't until I read about it later. I was like, oh. So the story takes place in Spain, in June 1944, 5 years after the Spanish Civil War, during the early Francoist period. And it intertwines with real world. So there's guerrillas out and whatever. The story of a young girl who's escaping into a fantasy world to escape the nastiness of the real world around her. Her mother's pregnant. And she finds a labyrinth where there's a faun at the center, which Guillermo del Toro has flat out said that that faun is not Pan from Greek mythology. These are the fauns from Roman mythology. So I don't know why they called it Pan's Labyrinth in English. Regardless, and she goes, you know, on a quest, a hero's journey into the underworld with creepy creatures. And, it's just a fantastic movie and a fantastic fairy tale. And it's almost, you know, an origin story of a faraway alien princess, almost, is what you see. And you're kind of left not knowing for sure, is all of it in her head, or is there some sort of truth and things like that up in the air. I like that. But,
Even though, you know, not spoiling anything. Well, I guess
we could probably spoil 2007 movies,
whatever. Yeah. I mean, even though the ending can be taken a couple different ways, in a way, even if it is kind of the worst possible ending, it's still weirdly uplifting in a way because
the music is haunting, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. But she kind of, like,
she knows happiness in the last moments.
Exactly. And in a way, that movie kind of hit me the same way that Life is Beautiful kind of hit me.
Mm.
That movie. Because that movie's kind of the same thing. What's the guy's name?
Benito. I don't know.
Mussolini. Benicio.
Benicio del Toro.
Yeah. Man, I keep thinking.
I forget
his name, too.
The Oscar seat jumper. Did you see him at the Oscars?
No.
Like,
no,
he won. He was, like, jumping from seat
to seat. Oh, was he?
That was crazy.
But Life is Beautiful. It's kind of like the same thing where I think, you know, he's making that, you know, they're in the worst possible situation you can imagine, but he's trying to make everything super positive to the kid that's in the movie. Even all the way up until the end, even though it kind of. That's a great
Roberto
movie.
Benigni.
That's it, Roberto Benigni. That's.
I've not seen Life is Beautiful all the way through, so.
Oh, no?
Yeah. I didn't have anything against what I saw of it, but it was.
Yeah. It's one of those movies where you see it and you're kind of like. It affects you kind of with Pan's Labyrinth. Affected me.
But to me, Pan's Labyrinth felt very. Well, Neil Gaiman, Neil Gaiman and shit.
Yeah, for sure.
It just felt like there was this.
Otherworldly magic.
Otherworldly,
yeah.
And I love Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah. He's got some talent there. I was kind of a little bit upset to see that he's not doing the new Hellboy.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I'll give it a chance.
Exactly, I'll give it a chance.
I'm more upset at the fact that I still don't have Guillermo del Toro's At the Mountains of Madness.
Oh.
Because he wanted to make the H.P. Lovecraft movie.
Yeah,
and I want H.P. Lovecraft in my life, and I can't seem to get.
And wasn't Tom Cruise like cast in that as well?
I don't know if they got fully to casting. I mean, they attached stars to it, but I don't know if it was ever.
Because I really wanted to see that too. Because man, that's a good story. But, all right, well, I guess we'll finish up. I guess with my number one.
Your number one.
And my number one is not so much a movie, really. I mean, I guess it is a movie because it is a movie also, but I'm more or less referring to the series. That's Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I mean, it is also a comic. I guess it's become a comic.
Well, it's become a comic, but it wasn't based on a comic. So.
But, you know, like, eventually, you know, it started out with just one hero, if you will, but then kind of as the series came along, you kind of got a whole group of heroes. It's kind of like the X-Men, if you will.
Okay.
You know, Willow kind of telekinetically speaking with them.
The Avengers.
Yeah, we're the Avengers, exactly, absolutely. You know, there's one episode that it's probably in season 3-ish, I think, where they're all kind of working together to kill these vampires. And at the beginning of the episode, I'm like, man, if they did an X-Men thing, this was before the X-Men movies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I think Buffy and the Scooby Gang were one of the first superhero teams kind of
put together. That show.
I love that show too.
I like the movie. I love the show.
Yes.
Favorite Buffy episode? Do you have one?
Let me think. Come back to me on that one.
Favorite Buffy episode?
Probably the Zeppo.
Oh, that's right.
I really like that one, yeah. I like other episodes, but I just like that one because it's so kind of...
Xander.
Yeah.
And you identify with Xander.
Yeah.
Just, you can't identify with the Inhumans, but we identify with Xander.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Bring it back around.
There you go. Bring it back around.
There you go.
You got one?
Let me think.
Take mine. Hush.
That is a good episode.
Hush is a good one.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm trying to think. Do I have a favorite one? I guess the series finale. I don't really have a favorite one.
Mm-hmm. My favorite season is probably... might be the one with the initiative, maybe. I don't know.
No.
No, it's probably the senior year episode.
That's season two?
Yeah. Yeah, season two.
That's season two or three.
I think, if I remember correctly, don't quote me on this, that season one was high school. Season two was the continuation of high school with the mayor versus the master.
No, season two is actually Angel. Angel being the big bad. Yeah, because that's when...
The first season was short, though.
Yeah, the first season is just, that's with the master. And
right.
Season two is with Angel as the big bad, and I think season three is the mayor.
Right, because the kid was the bad guy in the second season.
Oh man, we're gonna have to whip out some Buffy info here real quick.
Yeah,
I think third season was Angel.
The initiative,
No,
I think that's the fourth.
Is that the fourth?
I think so, because it's like when she's in college. I think
Buffy's big bad by season.
Yeah. The more I think about it, it's definitely the one. I mean, season two is pretty good.
Do. Buffy the Vampire Slayer is ranked worst to best. Oh.
Ooh.
On Vulture.
Let's see what they got to say here. I bet you season
coming in
two
number
is
seven.
Probably the number one.
It was worst from worst to best. Season seven, they related rated seven.
Okay.
Six was six. Five was five. Four was four. Really? Three was one. Two was two. Their favorite was season three. So season three is the mayor.
Is the mayor.
A germophobic big bad with occasional
laughs. Adam is the bad in season four.
And that's
the initiative.
Yeah,
I don't like the, I didn't like the initiative as much.
See, I liked it, but I'm surprised that they didn't pick season two as being the... Because that seemed like that's when it got all its critical acclaim.
Glory is season five. Dark Willow is season six. The Mayor is season three. And Angelus is season two.
All right. I guess that's it.
A brief history of Buffy.
All right, I guess we'll just wrap up with that. That's our revisiting of the topic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Reloaded.
Electric Boogaloo.
Whoa, there you go.
Everything's electric Boogaloo.
Everything. All right, so check us out on our website, allmyissues.com.
On Facebook and Twitter, at All My Issues.
And
everywhere.
All right. Thanks for listening.
See ya
later.
Bye. Bye.